May it please the court, my name is Jack Guthrie. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. I intend to briefly address the aspects of the order of protection that was granted by the Superior Court pertaining to Corby Kincaid, and then focus on issues related to the trial court's fairly unprecedented treatment of my client's video evidence that he proffered at the final order of protection hearing. This court should vacate the order of protection with respect to Corby Kincaid and should remand this case to the trial court with instructions to mark and consider Von Preece's proffered video evidence.
If somebody testifies in a protection order hearings, this individual standing across the street from my location where the two of us live and almost daily basis and is waiting for us to come outside, and we're afraid he's attempting to bait us into some confrontation. Wouldn't that be sufficient evidence to support a stalking order?
Your Honor, it could be sufficient evidence to grant an emergency order of protection. I think it could form the basis to grant a full order of protection if other conflicting facts were not alleged by the respondent. I don't think that's the scenario we have in this case, where two incidences of contact.
Well, the testimony from the harassment hearing was that there were two incidents of interaction, but that's not necessarily inconsistent with the testimony at the protection order hearing that this individual on a daily, almost daily basis is standing across the street watching us.
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that the testimony in the hearing could fairly be construed as embellishing in the sense that
Who gets to decide, though?
Well, I think the judge can decide, and I think that
didn't the judge here decide saying I believe that evidence, that's enough, don't bother these guys.
Your Honor, I think that could be an appropriate resolution to a case similar to this, but not this case. The two instances that were specifically alleged that Randall Kincaid went under oath and alleged this is what happened on these dates. Video footage existed of exactly what happened on those dates, and that
was the court relying on those. So I guess that's
no. The court didn't allow Von Preece to make a record of those of the videos that depicted.
Did the court rely on those two incidents, or did the court rely on the information about the daily observation?
Your Honor, I believe that the court relied specifically on those two incidents. Those two incidents were discussed in length. Those two instances were the two instances that numerous details were alleged in the petition itself. Those were the two instances that the parties discussed at length. So I believe that the evidence shows and strongly suggests in this case that those were the two instances that the court relied upon when it granted the order of protection. Now, what's significant about the fact that the video evidence is unavailable to be used even at this appeal is that the facts that were alleged by the Kincaids were contradicted by what occurred in the videos. Specifically and most alarmingly was an insinuation that Von Preece threatened Corby Kincaid with a weapon. If the court were able to look at the videos themselves, they would be able to understand why Von Preece was so agitated while representing himself.
By the time you got to the end of that hearing, though, when you read the transcript, doesn't it seem pretty clear that the basis for that fear was the fact that there was an assertion, a statement by him asserted in the harassment proceeding that he had a weapons permit?
Yes, Your Honor. And I
so was the court relying on that at all?
I think this court should be concerned that the trial court was. That's the most alarming allegation that was in the protection order proceeding that came out. It was something that was alleged under oath on the petition itself, where I believe, if I recall correctly, the petition quoted Von Preece as saying something to the effect of, "I have a weapon and I can defend myself," during one of those actual interactions. Now, Von Preece adamantly denied that, denied those allegations specifically when he was attempting to get his video before the court, both marked and considered. And so I think that it is alarming that that Von Preece was denied the ability to even preserve that issue and that this line of inquiry because he did not have an opportunity to mark his video.
He could have preserved his issue had he made an offer of proof that explained what there was on the video that was not otherwise available to the court.
And
he didn't do that.
You're correct, Your Honor. He attempted to He attempted to convey to the court what was bothering him. In numerous instances, he said, what he's saying is simply not true. You have to see the video. You have to see the video. And his offer of proof, I believe, should be construed as a two-part offer of proof, where he is saying there are material inconsistencies between the specific allegations that are being made on those two specific instances, and that looking at the video will show the court exactly what those inconsistencies are and why they're so significant.
Seems, though, one view of the transcript is the court asked at least four times, what's on the video that I don't already have in front of me or that's in dispute? And the Yelp review, nope, that's not covered. The police report to the police, no, that's not covered. Other assertions, it just never, I mean, how many chances does the court have to give someone to make an offer of proof?
And I do understand that, Your Honor. The circumstances in which this case arises are significant, should bear on how this court views the resolution of these issues. Neither one of the parties was represented by counsel.
Should that make any difference?
I think the rules suggest that it should.
Which rules are those?
Evidence Rule 1101 states that the rules of evidence should be relaxed in protection special proceedings, which include protection order matters. And above and beyond that, Your Honor, we still have concern that we cannot put forth that video evidence in front of you. There is no justification for a court saying, I'm not even going to let you make this part of the record. And it really deprives him of the ability to let me argue specifically that, no, there were significant contradictions between what is being alleged to the court and what is in the videos, and it makes a difference in the ultimate resolution of whether or not the order should have been instituted. And if I may briefly, Your Honors, address the fact that Corby Kincaid should not be covered by this order. There was no allegation that there's direct contact from Brian Von Priest to Corby Kincaid. And in their pleading before this court, respondent admits as such and instead tries to say that indirect contact that was harassing is sufficient, which I do not think is supported by the law or case law.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And good morning. May I please the court? Brad Barshus on behalf of the Kincaids. And I think this comes down to a matter of whether or not a judge abused his discretion to look at all of the evidence and make a formal decision as to what was either deemed stalking behavior or not. As was previously stated, the judge gave several opportunities for Mr. Von Priest to make an offer of proof, which was not made. There was lots of information that the judge tried to draw out of Mr. Von Priest, but Mr. Von Priest continued to just rely on he wanted to present the videos. Now, the videos, I don't believe, have any bearing on the judge's decision. The judge indicated in the transcripts that regardless of what is in the videos, he's already made a decision based on all the evidence that he had already heard. Now, all of the evidence that he had already heard was the repeated walking past the house, the continued recording of the Kincaid's home, the interactions with not only the Kincaids, but the dogs, and them having knowledge of the neighbors that have had interactions with Mr. Kincaid. All of that was presented to the judge. The judge also had the ability to look at Mr. Von Priest's previous history and the history of having previous orders or been involved in previous protection order hearings.
Can we tell from the record whether the trial judge relied upon the gun allegation?
And, Your Honor, I don't know that it's clear from the record whether or not he only relied on that, but I believe that it did play a part in what was the final determination. But I think it was not only the gun incident, but the statements made by Mr. Von Priest that he had a CPL and that he was willing to defend himself.
There was no testimony, was there, that someone had seen him with a gun?
I don't believe. I'd have to look back at the transcript. I can't recall off the top of my head, but I don't believe that there was a direct statement that said that Mr. Von Priest was flashing a firearm or anything of that nature.
And I don't recall testimony that he threatened to use a gun.
I believe what he said, what was professed to the judge, was that he would use it to defend himself. I don't know that it was a direct threat that I'm going to shoot you, but I think it's an implied threat and an implied fear that my clients could take away when somebody says that they have a CPL license, which ultimately means they have a firearm and they can conceal that firearm.
Well, if the gun is important to the case and the gun was on the tape, then why shouldn't the court have found a way to look at the tape?
Your Honor, I think that the court allowed several opportunities for Mr. Von Preece to present what was going to be on those tapes, and he failed to do so.
There's tens of millions of people today that are having their counts, their votes counted, who are of the belief that saying, I have a concealed weapons permit and I'm prepared to use it in defense of myself or my family, is nothing that the government can prohibit. How can what was said here be prohibited by the government in the form of a protection order?
And I think when you take into a person's subjective fear that a person has a firearm, they have...
It's perfectly legal.
Certainly, Your Honor. But they have the ability to conceal that firearm.
Which is also perfectly legal.
And I agree.
And they have the ability to use it in self-defense, also legal.
And I agree with the court. But when looking at the other...
I'm afraid that you may behave legally toward me. I need a protection order.
But I think when you take that in conjunction with the other facts that the Kincaids had viewed, the unstable outbursts that they had encountered with Mr. Von Preece.
Both of them?
I believe that both of them had encounters with Mr. Von Preece. Mr. Corby Kincaid's were very limited in that sense, but I believe Corby Kincaid also was aware of the interactions that his partner was having with Mr. Von Preece. And then to also take that into account with the other evidence that was presented, that he was videotaping them, that he was leaving Yelp reviews, things of that sort, that they were unaware.
Yelp review behavior lawful?
Not when it's malicious and false statements. And that is what my clients are alleging that these statements were.
Okay. And the videotaping, is there anything unlawful about that?
Not directly. I believe a person...
So the unlawful behavior that...
Unless it's recording statements.
...described is the posting of malicious Yelp reviews.
And the interactions in which were had. But I think also, in a sense...
So what other interaction was unlawful?
Well, I believe that Mr. Kincaid... I believe Randall Kincaid had an interaction in which his dog ran across the street and Mr. Von Preece essentially had very strong words to say.
Is that unlawful?
Depending on what's said. I don't believe that. I believe it falls under harassment. I think there's a difference between what is unlawful and what is deemed harassing behavior pursuant to the statute.
I had a short haircut once. I was walking down the Santa Monica area, and someone thought that I looked Aryan and did a Nazi salute and said Sieg Heil. I found that extremely offensive. Was I entitled to a court order protecting me from someone saying that?
I think if there was continuing... if there was continuing course of conduct to that extent, then I believe, yes, you would. If somebody continues to offend you with a course of conduct that annoys, alarms, or harasses, then, yes, you are entitled to that.
Okay, let's break that down. If someone continually does something in a public place that annoys me, do I have the right to have a court tell them they can't do it?
Depends on what that is. If somebody's coming up to you...
Okay, I'm a political candidate, and I'm running for office, and I'm really annoyed at the people across the street with those signs for the opposing candidate. Can I go get a court order?
No, but I think the...
Okay, they then start screaming...
That actually happened.
They start screaming at me that I'm a fascist and a misogynist. Now can I get a court order?
I think if you're a lay person, yes, and not a...
Really?
not a political candidate. If somebody were to come up to me on a daily basis and say, you're a misogynist, you are, and continue to invade my sense of day-to-day activities to proceed in a manner that is not feeling harassed, then yes, I believe that that is what...
What case gives the court the authority to infringe upon the other person's First Amendment right in a public place to that extent?
Well, I believe, Your Honor, a person does have a right to protected speech, but to...
Can speech lose protection simply because it's offensive?
Certainly, Your Honor.
Really?
I believe disparaging remarks, cursing at somebody, things of that sort, I believe that the court has found is not protected speech.
What case holds that?
And, Your Honor, I would have to go back and look at First Amendment issues in regards to what is protected speech and what is not. But
with regard to the Yelp reviews, let's assume that they were totally unsupported by any fact whatsoever. How did they cause these folks to be intimidated, frightened, or threatened?
And Your Honor, they run a bed and breakfast out of that residence.
Yeah. So there's somebody that, without any basis for it, is saying this is the worst bed and breakfast in all of Seattle. This is a ridiculous place. Whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
How is that intimidating, frightening, or threatening?
Well, one, it threatens their business, their livelihood, their ability to make an income. As we're all aware, Yelp reviews and the internet are the first place people turn at this point to look for a good restaurant, look for a good hotel.
Probably the wrong guy. That's okay. I'll take your word for that part.
But it's certainly become very relevant this day and age that somebody have a good internet rating. And
so it's an economic threat.
Certainly.
That satisfies the harassment statute?
Well, I think if you're continuing to put somebody in fear of their livelihood, then certainly it leads to harassing behavior.
But you're saying it would be no different than making someone too afraid to go to work?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
In listening to the questions the court had for the Kincaid's counsel, it's clear that everyone wants to know more about what was going on. What was the nature of the recordings? How often did he walk by their residence? What did he do when he walked by their residence?
I don't know why that's clear. I mean, there was a trial.
Well, I'm saying, Your Honor, there's a general allegation that he walks by my house every day. And I would think that there is a significance to the quality of what happens when he walks by the house. All of us, I presume, have sidewalks in which people lawfully walk in front of our houses, which under the logic of the trial court seems like it could be construed as keeping someone surveilled or under surveillance. The videos were offered numerous times to the court. I don't think that there's any credible argument that those videos could be irrelevant to what was going on. They would make either the allegations by the Kincaids or...
Do we take your word for that, or do we look at the offer of proof?
Well, I think you can... I don't think you need to take my word for it. I think you can look at the offer of proof, and I think you can look at the Kincaids' response to the offer of proof, which was... Those videos, they don't know if they were doctored because they didn't take a look at the videos beforehand.
Doesn't the court have the right to first ask your client what's on the video that makes a difference and receive an answer that describes something on the video?
Yes, Your Honor.
And did that happen?
It did, Your Honor.
And what did your client describe was on the video that mattered?
What my client described was on the video were the two specific interactions.
He says the two specific interactions are on the video, but he doesn't say, and it shows I didn't say this.
Correct, Your Honor.
Isn't that part of what needs to be said to make it something pertinent?
To the degree that it could be admissible or used as impeachment value, yes. To the extent it could even be admitted into evidence to preserve those issues, no. It was certainly, it contained surveillance of a kind, we would argue, completely lawful because he was primarily recording his own dog he walked. But it contained video, you know, impartial, frankly, unimpeachable documentary videography evidence of the interaction, the specific interactions that were alleged. Why, and that should have been marked.
Without what I've described, why isn't that just cumulative of evidence that already has been received?
Well, and that would be different. If it's cumulative, then it's cumulative, and the court should have received it, should have marked it, and then said, I'm not going to take the time to look at it because you've not given me at least an adequate basis to consider it and to weigh it against the other testimony. But Von Preece did. Von Preece said, I did not do the things that are alleged. Von Preece said the video, and the Kincaid supported this, does show what happened on those two alarming specific events that they put in their petition. And frankly, there is no gun in those videos, and it's unfortunate that we're not able to show that to you today.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.